Well, we talked about this at the beginning of hour number one. Not a great day for college basketball, and particularly it appears, if these allegations are accurate, this could be the end of Louisville basketball for quite a while.
I would say so, Grant. I mean, just first of all, where they've been and the things that they have gone through, and now you pair that with these type of allegations, and I mentioned it earlier, Grant, the chances of just the assistant coaches going rogue and doing this on their own, there is a chance. But if I'm the ruling body, I'm probably going to lean a little towards not, seeing that you've already had these troubles. So I would say that things are going to continue to go come out as we continue on investigating this.
Boy, yeah. And, of course, I guess we're probably not shocked by it. You know, like you said, you know, but these are the people that apparently got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, right?
Yes. From the standpoint that, so a tennis shoe company wants a player, and maybe that kid wears a certain tennis shoe in high school, and they want him to go to a certain college that wears their tennis shoe, and now these companies are offering sums of money to coaches to help push that person in that direction. Or now they're even saying that coach, once they get there, is pushing that player towards financial advisors.
All right, as promised, Aaron Torres to talk about this news that came out today in the college basketball world. Aaron, it's great to have you on again. It's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm doing well. As I told your producer, FBI agents did not knock on my door this morning, so I got a one-up on a lot of people today. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, you know what? We're doing well, but you got to understand that the day is still, you got a lot of hours left, so be careful, okay?
Excuse you, man. Come on now.
Yeah.
What do you think? No.
I got to tell you, though, we were talking about this. If these allegations are accurate, and let's talk about, you know, a real powerhouse with the Louisville Cardinal and, you know, Rick Pitino. If these allegations are accurate, if they end up being true, and there are, you know, could we be looking at the death penalty for this program?
Grant, it's a great question. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, when you talk about allegations being true, they are, of course, allegations. But, you know, I think it's important to distinguish, this is not an NCAA investigation. This is the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I would have to imagine that all their ducks are pretty well in a row before they come out with a story like this. And so to answer your question, I think it's totally in play. And I am not somebody who supports, in terms of sports, of course, the death penalty to major college athletic programs, because no matter what, at the end of the day, there's always going to be players involved, people that had nothing to do with what went on. But if you look at the textbook definition of what the death penalty what would require the death penalty, it is basically egregious rule breaking to the point where they have no choice but to shut your program down. And when the FBI finds out that you paid a recruit $100,000 to come to your school while you're on probation, to me, this is like the most open and shut, you know, death penalty case in recent college sports history, certainly since I've been covering it. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but what I'll say is this. If they don't use it here, they might as well just throw it out of the rule book, because there's never been a more clear-cut case than this.
When you say FBI versus NCAA, what in your mind leads the FBI to jump on this maybe before the NCAA? Because I've heard of these type of things. Grant and I have been around NBA, college, high school. It's happened. Why now and why FBI?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. A lot of people have been asking it. You know, my understanding is, and you know, I'm far from a legal scholar or whatever, but, mm-hmm. you know, most of these places, you know, Louisville, University of Arizona, you know, these are public institutions, and obviously there is federal money flowing in. And with federal money, you know, these guys, I guess by term are state, by technical definition, are state employees. And they're basically using, for lack of a better term, money from, you know, state funds to bribe these basketball players. And so, you know, to be clear, and I think you guys know this, but like, this is not the FBI caring about cleaning up college basketball. This is not them doing a goodwill mission. This is like you know, under their jurisdiction, it's, as I said, it's considered federal bribery. I actually thought it was funny during the press conference, you know, with the FBI today. I think like one of the first questions was, you know, have you talked to the NCAA about this? And the FBI agent kind of looked at the guy funny and was like, no, like, we're, you know, this is serious stuff here. This isn't like, you know, giving out free hamburgers at the local student union, you know? And so, to me, that's why it's happening. But I also think that that, to me, kind of showed how even not just fans, but even the media that covers this and, you know, nobody in specific, but just I don't think they realize the gravity of this. I mean, this is massive. This is huge. As I said, it's not accepting a few free, you know, a few free hamburgers. There are people that will probably go to jail over this.
Wow. Unbelievable. Aaron, while we have you, I got asked this question earlier today, and I wasn't really sure how to answer it, and this is something that you're great at. When you look, if you fast forward to next June and the sure. NBA crop of you know, players that are going to be available for the draft, we talked about how great this draft apparently was this year compared to 12 months ago. Fast forward now through this year, how are we looking towards next year's NBA draft?
Oh, my God, you guys. Come on, we're going to make the playoffs this year. You don't need to worry about the draft. It's a different draft. It's more of a top-heavy draft, I think. I mean, the top three guys you guys have all heard about, Michael Porter Jr.
Yep.
He's like a big, like 6'10"-ish, like wing player, very, very fluid player. He's at University of Missouri. I'll actually be seeing him later this year. I've seen him throughout high school, but I'm looking forward to getting out there. It'll be my first time there. The kid from Duke, Marvin Bagley, I think the jury's still out on him. You know, I mean, people are saying he projects out to be potentially Anthony Davis. You know, I saw him at the high school level here in California quite a bit. Love his game. He is a complete player. But, you know, he's never really had to go up against the competition that, you know, he's going to next year in college. And obviously neither is Michael Porter Jr., but the process was so accelerated for Marvin Bagley. I think it'll be a little bit of a work in progress. The third guy, Luka Doncic from, you know, overseas, everybody loves him. You know, I've heard mixed things about how his athleticism and things like that translate. I know right now it's considered a big three, but to me, I think he's probably the third out of that group. But I'll give you one quick name. Keep an eye on. Duke has a point guard named Trayvon Duval this year. I'm not saying he's the best player I've ever covered, but he is one of the most entertaining players that I've ever watched at the high school level. He's got, you know, ball handling skills like Kyrie Irving. He's got a huge vertical leap. The shot is still very much a work in progress, but he's going to be a top 10 or so pick. But he wouldn't surprise me as one of these guys that people are talking about as a fringe, you know, like I said, top 10 pick that is going to work himself into the top five. I love him. Pull him up on YouTube. Trayvon Duval is going to Duke this year when you get off the phone with me.
You know, Michael Porter Jr., being from Seattle, I got to see Nathan Hill High School supposedly going to the UW and then transfer, obviously, to Missouri. Give the people maybe a couple of comparisons when you look at him. Obviously, he's 6'10", 6'11", but he can shoot the ball. Like you said, a very fluid player. Is there anybody out there that you look and you say, similar to that?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, people have said Kevin Durant. I mean, I think it's so hard to compare a guy to somebody who's like one of the two best players in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Doug, one that I've liked, and I'd be curious for your take, is Tracy McGrady. I think that's a totally fair comparison. Not a super athlete, Michael Porter Jr., but he's pretty fluid. He can handle the ball. He can take people off the dribble. He's got an outside shot. To me, Tracy McGrady feels like the right comp. You know, I'd be curious, you know, what you guys have heard, if you've heard something different. To me, that's the one that stands out. Like I said, I don't think he's the natural scorer that Kevin Durant is. And let's be honest, there's, you know, maybe 10 guys who have played this game in the history of the sport who are the scorer that Kevin Durant is. But I do think Michael Porter Jr., I think that guy's got a chance to be an all-star just about every year, you know, once he hits his prime. And so to me, I've heard a lot of Tracy McGrady, and that's the one that I like with him.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I agree with you. I don't know about the explosion and the explosiveness. But that length, being able to get his shot, he can shoot the three ball, he can put it on the rack, he can grab it off the board, he can bring it up. I don't know if he's quite the playmaker, but like you said, it is hard to compare when you talk about Hall of Famers and All-Stars, but that skills package, the size, the skill, the ability is there. Will he put in the work and create himself into that type of player?
By the way, this is totally sort of off subject, but sort of on subject. It's funny because, you know, the Porter family in general has gotten a lot of flack because basically the University of Washington and the University of Missouri basically hired their father as an assistant coach to get access to Michael Porter Jr. All of a sudden, that doesn't really look that bad.
It does not.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like they got so much flack, and you know, I think that's just part of the game. But in hindsight, now we're seeing what we're seeing. It's amazing how that just doesn't even feel like a story anymore, as opposed to what it was. You know.
I was going to say, do you look at that type of situation? Because I think we see that a lot in AAU. AAU coaches, they get, then they come up to college and different things. So you're right. It doesn't look as bad when you look at all the little things that go on. Do you kind of get that out of NCAA basketball? You're seeing that, AAU coaches, they get promoted to college coaches, mm-hmm. kids, fathers are getting jobs. And now we look at this money moving around and all these allegations. It doesn't make it look that bad because a lot of that is going on, correct?
Yeah. And I think it's totally fair. And look, I mean, I think that the number we saw, you know, reportedly from, you know, Adidas to the recruit at Louisville was $100,000, and that is on the extreme side. But yeah, man, look, I mean, here's the truth. And I look at this, you know, and I wrote this a little bit today. I think it's so much more of a real world problem than a college basketball problem. Mm. You know, when you have the ability to get somebody, you know, first of all, in life, and I hate to put it this way, put it so bluntly, but in life, there are a lot of people that are always looking to cut corners to make money. And so, you know, and oh, by the way, there's also people that are looking to cut corners to advance in their careers and all that stuff. So as long as you have a commodity like a basketball player, you know, whether it's over the table, under the table, whatever, unfortunately, the reality is, you know, money is always going to change hands. You know, in the case of a situation like the Porters, I think the Porters are actually pretty unique in the sense that, you know, Michael Porter Sr. was a women's coach, you know, and basically he said, like, I don't want you to feel like you have to make my career. I want you to do what's best for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, my understanding is I don't know the family well, but I think they're pretty religious and they're pretty well off. And this wasn't like a money grab. This wasn't like a whoever was going to go to the highest bidder. And I think it was more, you know, the son really did want to help the dad. But this is the reality of college basketball is and oh, by the way, college football as well. All that kind of stuff. It's just that when you have players this skilled that can change a coach's career, and especially in basketball, where one player can completely change the trajectory of everything, this stuff is going to happen. And it's just, sadly, it's just the nature of how things are. But you guys are right, man. I mean, whether it's the AAU coach, whether it's the dad, whether it's the guardian, whoever it is, you know, unfortunately, too many times, you know, it's the narrative that, you know, the kid is just going really where he wants to go isn't always the case, and there's other reasons involved.
You know, Aaron, as we watch, because the game of basketball has changed, and you can say baseball, a lot of different things, but just focusing on basketball, as it changes, I think a guy like LeBron James has shown a lot of players how to take things into their own hands. And sure. Are we going to see some of that in college basketball, especially like with this situation, you know, dad gets a job and the player goes where they want to go. Is that going to kind of be the narrative going forward as the player begins to, you know, take their career in their own hands that way?
Yeah. I think that's a totally fair commentary. And, you know, I think we've seen it more the last couple of years where, you know, kids are more savvy in terms of they're going to wait until later in the process mm-hmm. to pick their college because they want to know who's staying, who's going. You know, is a player at my position that might leave for the draft going to stay? It's been interesting to watch a lot of kids now, you know, are kind of waiting to see how coaching situations play out, where maybe if a coach is on the quote-unquote hot seat, they're waiting for a year. And then what I think is an interesting, I don't know if it's a trickle-down or trickle-up thing, but you see more and more guys that are willing to play with other good guys. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I feel like all these guys were kind of spread out over, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 basketball programs. And you look at like, just as an example, like Duke this year, three of, I think, the top 7 or 8 players in this high school class, if you include Marvin Bagley, who moved up a year, they're all going to Duke. And I think, you know, the narrative has changed. And, you know, I actually think you guys in Sacramento have the best example of this with Scalabissiere, in that, you know, you no longer have to be great in college basketball. And so what I think it's done is it has allowed these players, you know, to team up with other players, where now it's not an embarrassment to go to Kentucky and be the fourth leading scorer. And by the way, it's not going to hurt your draft stock either. Maybe a little bit with Scal, but he was still a first round pick. And so to me, yeah, no. And you know, we talk about the bad parts of college basketball, but I think there are good parts too. And I think that there are parents that are smarter, and not in an illegal way of we're going to take this or demand that, but just, where is my son going? What kind of style of play? Who are his teammates going to be? Who's the coach going to be? I actually give a lot of credit to parents and the players, because I think they're a lot smarter about making these college decisions than they were maybe 10 years ago.
Aaron, I want to switch gears and talk some college football for a moment or two, and I want to get your take on Clemson on you know, everything they did last year, and they lose, obviously, a great quarterback in Watson, and so we wanted to see how Kelly Bryant would do. They had a big fourth quarter to pull away from BC, but here they are at 4-0, and really, and again, things can change, but the only really huge obstacle that looks like that's on their schedule is coming up this weekend at Virginia Tech. Give me your thoughts on this Clemson Tiger team.
Yeah, I've been really surprised. I mean, obviously, you know, I watch like a lot of people, you know, and you know, Deshaun Watson was so good last year. And the funny thing is, it's not like it was like a fluke. Like, he almost went into Foxborough last week and beat the Patriots himself, you know. And so, like, clearly that guy was awesome. And, you know, I think the thought process was like, oh, man, like, they're going to take a major step back. And, you know, I was certainly one of those guys that felt that way. And then to just see them, they're just rolling, man. And, you know, I think it's a credit to Dabo Sweeney. You know, it's funny because as a guy who covers kind of both sides, the college football and the college basketball, I'm around a lot of these coaches. And Dabo is one of the most unique guys in this sport, in that, you know, in a sporting world where we have the Nick Sabans and the Jim Harbaughs and the Bill Belichicks that don't give you anything, Dabo Sweeney is just like a totally open book. He just says whatever he wants, says whatever's on his mind. I mean, he's great to cover because he's just brutally honest. And so, you know, he doesn't get enough credit for, you know, kind of the culture that he's created, in that they could kind of keep the ball rolling, you know, without Deshaun Watson. I think it's a credit to his recruiting. It's a credit to the defense that they're playing down there, because I haven't looked at the stats in the last day or so since the weekend, but, you know, they were ranked in the top five nationally in just about every relevant statistical defensive category. So I think that's the thing that's impressed me about Clemson, is everyone just assumed, oh, they lost Deshaun Watson, they lost Mike Williams, they lost all these offensive guys, you're going to take a step back. One, they've switched up how they play. They're playing great defense. And two, they haven't missed a beat. There's only two teams in the country that have beaten two ranked teams at this point, and they're one of them.
You know, Aaron, you make an interesting point when you talk about Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban, Alabama. Normally, we see Alabama lose all these people, and then they stay afloat. Now we're seeing Clemson do the same thing. Has the gap been closed because Alabama was head and shoulders above everyone, even though they lost the national championship and almost lost it the year before, but they won it? Is the gap been closed between Clemson and Alabama?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. And like in college football circles, like that's a big conversation right now. Is like you just said, like Alabama was head and shoulders above everybody else as far as just not just, you know, year in and year out, not just in an individual year, I mean, but year in and year out, they're just so dominant and so phenomenal, and there's never a drop off. But to see it happen with Clemson is unbelievable. And I think, like I said, it's just opened a lot of people's eyes, because again, this is a program that one, hasn't done it, and two, they lose a historically great quarterback. And like, I just don't think anybody thought that this, you know, it was funny before the season, I just kind of went through and I looked at everybody's kind of different playoff predictions, all the national writers and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't see a single person that had Clemson in the playoff. And I don't think that's an indictment on the writers. I think it's that like, we all thought Clemson was going to take a step back, but the fact that they can continue to do this, they lose all these guys. I think they had like eight guys drafted last year. It's unbelievable. And so the fact that they've continued to do this without Deshaun Watson, they're really young on offense. They should get better, not only throughout this year, but into the coming years. You know, they have a really good recruiting class lined up for 2018, although it's early. There's no reason to think that this drop-off is going to happen anytime soon. I don't think it's really arguable at this point. They're probably the second best program in the country behind Alabama as far as just all aspects of it. And I don't think that's something a lot of people would have said even before the season as much as now with, you know, with what they've done through 4 weeks of the year.
Aaron, it's always great to have you on, man. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
We'll have you on again soon, all right?
No problem. I always appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Aaron Torres. Good stuff right there, huh, DC?
Oh, my goodness, man. He covers it all, Grant. It is 424 time to watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the Real Monarchs SLC Wednesday, 7:30 at Papa Murphy's Park. Tickets at sacrepublicfc.com.
All right, good segment right there with Aaron Torres. I'm Grant Napier and Doug Christie. And again, we are going to take you right up until 6:45. And we got you with A's baseball as, I don't know, there's some team called the Mariners in town.
Oh, yeah, there are,
That's
Grant.
The team that, once again, is not going to the playoffs. I don't know if you ever heard of them before, but they're in town, and we'll have that for you. But, hey, when we come back, Anthony Beck, former NFL tight end. He's a current college football analyst for ESPN and the Tampa Bay Bucks. We'll talk with him next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Moving right along, Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
Getting ready for an NBA preseason game on Monday, which I still can't believe.
I know. It's
has it hit you yet, man?
No, it hasn't. Even watching it today, you don't really. No, when they put the jerseys on and then someone is across from you in another jersey,
yep.
That's when it hits.
Unbelievable, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we are going to talk about some more football, both college and the NFL, in just a moment. Because Anthony Becht, we've had him on before. We love having him on. He does both college and the NFL, former NFL tight end and current ESPN college football analyst. He's also the analyst for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll talk with him coming up in just a little bit. Not too far from now. And I want to find – but, you know, the Bucs to me are – what did I tell you about this team? I just can't I can't believe in them because – they have games like they had on Sunday.
You know, so they missed the very first game because of the Hurricanes. Then they come out and they get a W. Then they go and they get a loss. So you tell me this because I'm not sure. Does Doug Martin get to play this week or does he have to sit out 3 weeks or three games? I wasn't sure how that worked.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk with Anthony Beck right
He'll
now.
Tell
as
us.
We I just ran down his resume and everything that we talk about. Anthony, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing tonight?
We're doing good. How are you? You know, I was just talking about the Bucks, and I keep on waiting for them to not, like, disappoint me. And I'm not a Bucks fan, but you know what I mean? Like, I think, okay, and then I see a game like they had against Minnesota, and I'm like, same old Bucks. Now, maybe I'm being too critical, but give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, look, history would tell you that. I mean, we're waiting. On paper this year heading into the season, you know, this team was the talk of the town. They still are the talk of the town. You know, they got some injuries right now on defense that they're struggling with. You know, this team needs all 11 starters, to be quite honest with you, on the field to be competitive at each position. If you're lacking your two best pass rushers, one of your top linebackers is down, one of your best corners is not playing, then that exposes guys that normally would get exposed wouldn't get exposed if these guys were in place. And that's part of what happened in the Minnesota game. Now, on the other side, offensively, there shouldn't be any problems. And, you know, right now, you know, Jameis is turning the ball over a little bit. You know, probably, you know, hasn't really linked up with DeSean Jackson's probably missed three deep balls with him over the last two games. That's, I wouldn't say concerning, but I knew that was the big thing that had to be worked on in the offseason, and that's going to take time because you need live game reps to get that down. But that's got to hit better at a better clip because, you know, you only get one or two of those every so often. And when Deshaun's doing his thing and running by guys, we got to hit him. So the turnovers got to come down. I'd say Jameis overall probably doesn't look as sharp as maybe I'd like him to, especially this last game. And, you know, things changed, obviously, when Minnesota came out and got the big lead on them. They had to change their game plan a bit, but you would expect if they had to pass, that would be a positive thing. So defensively, they got to find ways to do and be creative because they're exposed in several positions without some of their top key players playing.
And can you give us an update? I was asking Grant before you came on, Doug Martin. I know the three-game suspension, but game one you didn't play because of the hurricane. So now you got week two and week three. So does he get to play after week three, or does it have to be three games?
Yeah, he's got to miss three complete games.
Okay.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, listen, Doug's probably the hardest working guy as on the Buccaneers team year in and year out. He always has the best training camps. You know, obviously he let this team and organization down by the choices he made, but he still came in ready to go. Great off season. Training camp was good. So hopefully, you know, listen, he's got to catch up to some game speed stuff when he gets back. Hopefully he's pushing himself to the limit. So when he comes back, we need him, because Jacquizz Rodgers and some of these other guys are okay. Collectively, they're good backs, but we need his spurt, his explosion, his big playability to kind of get that balance that we need, so we can pass the ball effectively in our play-action game.
And, Anthony, listen, you know this. You played, and I think we as fans sometimes are too quick with our observations. It's only 3 weeks of the NFL season. But with that said, you know, barring an injury to Matt Ryan, I still think, you know, Atlanta's going to win that division. And I'm not conceding it after 3 weeks. But, you know, if you're Tampa, it looks like your best chance, you know, and again, we watched Hard Knocks. We saw it. We heard about how this team is going to be that team this year. They're going to step up. They have a chance to be a playoff team. And, you know, again, they're only 1-1. But we talk about consistency or lack thereof. And you just mentioned Martin. I mean, how critical is he to the success or lack thereof of this Buccaneers team?
He's a part of it. And look, I watched both Atlanta games. They could have easily lost both of those games. They should have lost the Bears game. So I wouldn't concede and say that they're going to definitely win the division. The Buccaneers have handled them of any division opponent over the last couple of years. They've been very favorable against Atlanta. But with that being said, Atlanta has done it. They've showed up. They've put in the 16 games that it takes to get themselves to the next spot, coming off, obviously, the Super Bowl game from last season. Look, the Buccaneers, it is early. There's no question. I am not panicking. I know how this thing works. You look across the league, a lot of teams are right there. Everybody's kind of got the same record right now. So, and the one thing I say as a former player, and I don't know if this applies to all sports, because I, you know, and Doug can speak for basketball because you guys play more games closer together. But for football, there's no real relative relation from one game to the next. Mm. So if you go out there and you whip somebody 41-0, to me, nothing carries over to the next week. It's a different week of practice. It's a different week of prep. You show up on Saturday with a new game plan. There's new guys you're going against. And if you don't show up that day, you lose. That's how it works, you know. So, you know, to me, the teams that can do that consistently are the best ones. And there's only really a handful. Patriots, you know, teams that go out there, we know. I mean, look at Oakland, perfect example. That was an embarrassment, that watching those guys after what I've seen early in the season.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks they're going to, you know, going to play the Patriots already in the AFC Championship. So we can jump to things, and that's our job and stuff. But you got to kind of look, take a step back. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a ton of weapons. It's going to happen at some point. But they can't start 1-3 like they have the last 3 years. It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
It won't work for them.
Yeah, Anthony, you know, you mentioned something, and you talk about DeSean Jackson. You talk about Jameis Winston's inability to get him the ball. There's a shiny new weapon right there, and there is a big difference, I would think, from in practice. You got your defensive lineman coming at you. You know they're not going to hit you. You throw that ball up. But then when the game starts – and the speed of DeSean Jackson and the ability to get him the ball, you mentioned you only get once or twice maybe a game. How long do you think it's going to take them to maybe get on the same page?
Hopefully next week. I don't know. I think Jameis Winston is a fantastic a quarterback. And he's taken huge strides. He is ahead of the curve by far. I think it's going to happen at some point. I mean, they connected on a nice ball late in the game this past week on the sidelines, about a nice 30-yard sideline pass for a touchdown. But, I don't know. I can't predict that. I can only say that they put the work in, they put the time in, and I think usually guys that do that have the positives come their way. So I know he's leaning on that. I know he's working at it. There's nobody I've seen since I left the Buccaneers that works harder than Jameis Winston. I mean, the kid is – he's all in on football, man, and he's a cat that wants to improve every single. And he's coached hard, Dirk Cutter does not, what you saw on Hard Knocks, that's a daily deal now.
Really?
He doesn't let him slide one bit, and he puts a high ceiling on him, and he should.
Yes.
And I like that. So hopefully all those things, and he's very coachable, so all those things work well to his advantage to helping him be successful quicker.
Here's the question I have, though. Does he go to Anthony.com and buy your products? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'd say, you know, pre-game and after the game, he should, because we need him to look good when he takes that helmet off.
So tell me about it. Tell me about this.
Yeah, you know, I joined forces. You know, I have no tie-in to Anthony.com at all. They are completely – we just have the same name, and it just kind of worked out great. But I was using their product. They started in 2000. They're a premium men's facial and skincare and shaving product line. They're for the average guy. I mean, it's about, you know, getting the best products, whether it's shaving creams, aftershave balm, facial cleansers. So I joined forces with them. They liked my look. Obviously, it's important for me now. I do the TV. It's just a different world than it was when I was a raggedy bearded football player back in the day. So once I cleaned myself up on game day, it became a part of it. So we had some discussions, and they liked what they heard, and they liked what they saw. So you got to check them out online, Anthony.com. They got awesome products. I use them every day, every weekend. I blast out a new product every single weekend when I'm traveling on the road. I've given everybody and one of your listeners 20% off as many purchases they make with the promo code GAMEFACE. And I got to get you guys a gift box.
Yeah, this bald head needs it, my friend.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. That's a big area we got to take care of.
Anthony, great stuff. I'm on the website right now. It looks neat. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there. So thanks for offering that to our listeners, and thanks for coming on. And hopefully we can do this again soon, not too far down the road.
Anytime, guys. You let me know. Have a great night.
Yep, appreciate you too. All right, we'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, the Kings with one practice in the books. They'll have another in about 10 minutes, and then they'll do it all over again tomorrow. What time is it?
It is 4:50. Time to watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the Real Monarchs SLC Wednesday at 7:30 at Papa Murphy's Park. Tickets at sacrepublicfc.com.
Anyway, you know, it's fun to just see it starting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the sights and smells, hearing the ball, watching the guys get after it, it is a lot of fun, Grant. And then you look out on the court and you see all the young guys, the coaching staff, everyone's so excited. I'm excited for it to get started. I really can't wait.
Man, I love just seeing Vince Carter and his presence on this team, you know?
Yeah. From the standpoint, Grant, that these young guys, they grew up watching Vince, and there's a respect level that's already built in.
Oh, boy.
So when he's speaking to them, you can hear that they'll quiet down, they'll listen up, all those things. And he already knows Coach Yeager and the things that he wants to implement. And that is only helping. Now you have a coach on the bench, on the floor, and on the end of the bench as well. It's a helpful thing.
All right, 339-1140. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I think when you look at expectations for the Kings this year, you and I will have a better idea after watching practices and the preseason games. We'll see how Dave Yeager plans on coaching this team in this very brutal Western Conference and go from there.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're going to have to see how they come together, because a lot of times I would say you're going to have a team or two that sneaks in, wins more than they're supposed to. Right now, what are the expectations? You really don't know. How are they going to mix? How is he going to use the veterans? Is he going to bring anybody off the bench? Are guys going to step up? There are a lot of different things that are X factors, that are those unknowable things that you just have to wait and see.
All right, let's get to some phone calls. Aman, what's going on? You're with Grant and Doug. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Really excited about training camp getting underway. I had a question for you guys. Do you guys think that there will be an open competition for all five starting spots, or is there a guy or two that's locked in to be a starter no matter what?
I'm not really sure. I would think George Hill is probably locked in at the point guard position. Up and beyond that, I would say it probably depends on how he chooses to use people, because you could say the same for Vince Carter and Z-Bo, but does coach choose to bring either both of them or one of them off the bench to help bolster the bench? I don't know. In my opinion, just looking at it, I would probably say George Hill at the point guard.
I would too.
Yeah, up and beyond that, Amon, I'm really not sure.
How about Cauley Stein? I would think that this could be the chance for him to be locked in and, like, you know, start the season as a starter, because I feel he's just been, you know, jumping around from the starting lineup to the bench past couple of years. Now with DeMarcus not being there, especially now, he could be our focal big man.
That's a good point. I forgot about Willie. You're right. I mean, he looked absolutely fantastic in everything that I saw of him in the summertime. But I just think there's so many open-ended questions for the Kings right now when it comes to that. And I think that, Amon, that's ultimately what's going to make it a really good training camp, is because the competition is going to be at an extremely high level.
Yeah, there's a lot of good depth in each position, and it's really exciting time. And I don't want another thing to say about him, especially about media day. I love the way De'Aaron Fox carries himself. The way he talks, it's very professional, and that's something he's done his first year in the NBA.
Forget first year, Amon. He's 19 years old. Can you believe that? 19,
no, I can't believe it. I still can't believe that.
Yeah, when I'll tell you, Amon, shakes your hand, nice firm handshake,
yep, looks you in the eye.
When he talks to you, he does that. He's well-spoken. The kid handles himself with an extreme amount of class. I am really impressed, and obviously I'm a fan of his on the court, so the whole package is there. And you can see the leadership in him as well, Amon.
Let me tell you something. The entire culture of the Sacramento Kings is honestly night and day from where it was 12 months ago. Like it's almost, and I really mean this, it's almost like you're watching a completely different franchise.
Yeah, I mean, when you see them, and for all the Sacramento Kings fans, to Grant's point, they're going to play extremely hard. They are going to get after it. And when you look at the young talent like a De'Aaron Fox, a Frank Mason, all of them, the way they go about their business, it's refreshing to know that this is going to be your team for the foreseeable future.
Yep. Thank you. Let's get to Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Grant. I'm sorry to kill the Kings vibe. I am a Kings fan, but real quick, Doug, before it gets too late in the week, I'm a big Titan fan. I know you're a Seahawk fan. Did you happen to watch the game? Want to get your thoughts a little bit on that game?
No, what game? You know, Dan, I tell you, I have to give your Titans credit. Obviously, they won. The Seahawks, you know, we had John Clayton on earlier, and we were talking to the fact that this is notoriously how the Seahawks start. They start out slow. Grant had mentioned this earlier, is the fact that a lot of the offenses, they are behind. It's just how it goes. Guys don't play in the preseason. I am still a little, with all of that said, Dan, I'm still a little worried about my Seahawks. I'm not seeing.
The stat I liked in the game is during the game, they said the Titans are 0-5 at home in September, and the Seahawks were 0-5 on the road in September. So something had to give. And then my last point is that just how bad so many offensive lines are in the NFL, both your guys' teams, and you just go down the line, it's just so bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for rubbing it in my face, Dan. I appreciate that, buddy.
Hey, but you know what? He's right.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I you know, when I look at the Seahawks, Grant, the one thing that I just don't – maybe you can explain this to me. Whenever they run their hurry-up offense – they score, they play well, but when they try to pound the ball the ball,
I know.
Why not make that your style you get a lead, then go to that?
I'm going to ask, our good buddy Charles Davis is coming on in a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask Charles about that because you know why? He just did that game against Tennessee.
That's right.
So, and he did a game 2 weeks ago in Kansas City. I want to ask him about his take on the Chiefs, but I want to ask him what he sees with Seattle because, again, he just spent a whole week preparing, and good for Charles. He's on his way to London this week. He's going to be doing a game Sunday.
Sad for him.
So it's all good there. But the point I'm trying to make about Charles is, he just spent an entire week preparing for the Seahawks game. So he will know currently. We'll get. I really want to get his impression on where this team's at right now because, You know, the NFC West stinks. It really does. It's not very good. So, you know, 8-8 may very well win that division.
Yeah, 8-8 takes you to the playoffs. I have to ask Charles about the Harlan Coben books as well, if he's going to be traveling all the way overseas.
Oh, you know, come on, man.
Yes. You know, right now, Grant, there's nobody that's head and shoulders in the NFC. I mean, okay, you look at the Falcons, they're great, okay. But
I wouldn't say they're great.
Maybe not great, but they're 3-0. And, you know, if you win, you win. Maybe they should have lost against the Bears, like people say. But it's open. I think in 3 or 4 weeks from now, there could be a different view of this whole conference. I don't know. We will have to wait and see. I'm a little disappointed, though.
All right. If you want to call the show, you can. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And as I mentioned, we are going to be speaking with Charles Davis of the NFL on Fox in a couple of moments.
One of the best in the biz.
He's just so pleasant. He's such a great guy.
He is. I mean, the conversations, I'm excited to talk to him because they always go – just kind of go. We do no map.
No,
we just go with it, man.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk to him recently because of our schedules, but so we'll spend a lot of time talking about actual NFL that he has witnessed by calling the games with Kevin Burkhardt. But you kidding me? We love talking with him.
No doubt. What game? This is back to back now this week over in.
Yes, back to back.
So who is this week over
it's,
there?
It's New Orleans and Miami.
New Orleans, Miami. Okay.
Yes.
Well, last week, you have Jacksonville. They go over there, no one gets to see, and they put up a 44 ball. Goodness gracious, man.
How about that?
How about that?
I mean, that's.
I don't
incredible.
Even know how they did it because no one saw.
No.
Did it really happen?
I didn't go to Yahoo.com.
No, Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Right.
I thought it was Yahoo that chocolate drink.
No, it's Yahoo, Grant. Right.
I didn't see it.
Y-A-H-O-O. Come on, Grant. Be respectful.
I am being respectful. I didn't see it. All right, we'll come back. Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, next here on Sports 1140.